Pariyatti Audiobooks presents Chapter 28, We Are Everywhere, from the book Cultivating Inner Peace by Dr. Paul Fleischman, as read by the author.
Chapter 28, We Are Everywhere. Cosmic magic, stewing slowly over a few billion years, transformed the dead elements of planet Earth into the incandescent human mind. This mind travels in its collective galleon across the ocean of time. The transgenerational length of this voyage is guided by those who can detach themselves from their personal transients long enough to glimpse the orienting point of inner light. Humanity navigates by people whose astrolabe points towards an eternal interior star. Hope enters the human community through those who see the farthest and have the most faith. Solutions to the new, crowded, interconnected era will not be just technological, but spiritual. They will embrace sorrow for what each individual life is not. For without conscious awareness of the sorrow that is intrinsic to individuality, there will be no possible solution to group self-aggrandizing aggression and the plagues of externalizing blame that have characterized organized religions and nation-states. I prefer to meet people covered with tears rather than those holding a fistful of complaints. Every young man and woman knows that love consists of barely punctuated silence. Silence makes way for great forces. Let's bring our silence to bear on the war of opinions and actions. Our footsteps are compressing the earth, our alimentary canals consuming and despoiling it. Our vast collectivity is roasting it. Let's have better of less. Let's migrate like birds to the places where our songs, with their admittedly selfish territoriality, interweave with dawn itself. The great sages have yet to be born. The heavens we see above us reveal our neuronal capacity of perception. A more spangled constellation still rotates within. The complexity of our group vision has yet to be tapped. In the heart and mind, new scriptures beyond the limit of words remain suspended in orbit. I've written this book in the hope that humanity can turn towards inner peace, living simply but with energy and devotion, having fewer children and raising them to fulfill their potential as creative, loving, poised people, eating and consuming selectively, crossing over their fear of sorrow and loneliness, vibrating in the renewal of ennobling words, aware in every moment that personal life is a temporary emergence, and steering this brief passage towards the ethical, eternal. Once it seemed naive to imagine that the majority of adults would be able to read and write, to imagine humankind living towards inner peace may also become a self-fulfilling prophecy. Just as we're taught to temper our self-serving aggression in preschool, in the same way, we can develop a refined and elevating aesthetic in our relationship to Earth. Every time we turn on the tap, buy food, drive our cars, plan our careers, we could have in mind the whole. As already today, We might sensitively weigh how our personal decisions will impact on our child's future or our spouse's mood. With harmony in every ripple of thought, we may heal our world as we prune ourselves in daily interpersonal engagement. What I had hoped to be the greatest source of salvation for me, unspoiled nature, has become a recurrent source of suffering based upon my ignorant insistence that the world operate as I want it to work. What an era we live in. How clarifying. Everything that I call nature is being destroyed. The God in nature is certainly pulling a trick on us, reliquial 19th century naturalists. He's either checked out, leaving his estate to vandals, or he has a new scheme to turn Earth into a replica of Hoboken. Maybe the anguish will be embodied in a new existence, the way Auschwitz led to Israel. Maybe all the dead whales and elephants and redwoods and bisons and rhinoceroses, maybe the dead waters and the dead skies will cry out in new voices, in new births that will be heard, and a new harmony and order will arise from the ashes. Maybe people will adjust to a scraped, polluted earth the way people by the millions have already adjusted to New York, Tokyo, Calcutta, Ethiopia, Madagascar, Haiti. Maybe the giant sloth will cough his last Pleistocene laugh. I'd like to see some more people sit. I'd like to see internal joy replace external manipulation as the primary form of play. I'd like to see eternal peace accepted by all of humanity as real as personal death. Then everyone will know that inner peace is older than birdsong, more realistic than politics. I'd like to see childbearing become a rare, precious act, as treasured and uncommon as one's own birth and death should be. My cabin, engulfed by spires of June grass and cupped in maternal enclaves of overlush forest, is still so beautiful, a haunt for scarlet tanagers, chestnut-sided warblers, and indigo buntings. I still dwell among Earth's babble of diversity in modes of being, in Earth's lush and secret spaces, in her silent folds, among her creative mammalian kaleidoscope. I'm taking care to instill in myself the wisdom that erases suffering by not stifling my life pain, but in full awareness, detaching myself from it. Maybe these hard-won new vibrations will help extinguish the fires of consumption on our planet. And if they don't help, for expecting them to would only be more suffering, then they will move one person towards liberation from infancy of mind. Suffering is an old story. Wisdom is a new adventure. Quite remarkable if we are truly descended through trilobites and lemurs. We have only just begun. The spirits of those who live and speak for inner peace lead us to a vanishing point. Studying them is like watching deer that graze and suddenly fade into the foliage. Even if we are strong enough to yank free and traipse after peaceful exemplars, their trail evaporates. True leaders cannot be imitated. In the solitary field of personal decision, conscious life begins. The direction for our species is not set by the bellowing and shoving of premiers and captains, but where the vacuum of peacefulness sets off a deep, irresistible current. Our truest leaders have no names. They're everywhere. We are everywhere. Billions of people quietly live out some or much of what constitutes the path to peace. Inner peace is like the water molecule, which has a subtle charge called dipole moment that enables it to bend and turn when pressed into microscopic creases and cracks in stone. Even when water molecules can't flow, they can rotate. With cosmic patience, water wears down the rocky mantle of the earth into sand and life-bearing soil. Because of the ache it satisfies in the human heart, peace is a pervasive, illimitable force. Individual citizens have a dipole moment that will turn the world. Destruction is public and vast, like storms sweeping down the street, but peace starts in private crevices, at the heart, within. On the mythic day of Armageddon, when the world is destroyed and every sinner stands naked and unsupported in the void, to face fate in accordance with his or her own deeds, I imagine the tribunal judging us won't consist of winged angels or horned devils, but will be a black-capped chickadee, a lynx, and a birch tree. They will know as clearly as you and I do that one predator species has cut down every virgin forest, killed as many plants as animals as he could get away with, spoiled every source of fresh water, fouled every ocean of the planet. Who can you and I bring forward as our character witnesses? Right now, I'm cultivating friendship with black bears, a woodlot in Vermont, and a Canadian river. I'm not saving nature. I'm letting nature save me. The red poles who fly south from the Arctic in winter to eat thistle outside my kitchen window are missionaries to the savage that I am. I'm letting them convert me. I offer them food so they will fly and sing on my behalf in a peaceful world. Whether humankind U-turns away from dysplastic growth towards peace or not, I have, and you have, the option to live the best possible life. Inner peace is already within you, waiting to be opened. Cultivating inner peace will make you happier and more resilient and practical, able to face the difficulties of your personal death and human communal confusion head on. It will open you to realizations that exceed the pragmatic, so that you will enter the stream of peace that is always invisibly flowing in and around you. Engaged in the world most helpfully, you will become an internal habitué of a place beyond the wind, the abode of peace. I dream that some evening at 8 p.m., the whole world will sit down to meditate on the transient sensations of their body with an accompanying peaceful awareness of the illusory nature of individuality. And as 8 p.m. travels east to west around the globe, a vibration of human harmony will follow the path of the fading sun. I may not be there. The particles of my eyelids and bones long since dispersed and reaggregated into other forms that grew, then passed away, and the thoughts of my mind long since absorbed by ongoing generations, the way that children soak up affection from watchful eyes. the trace of my own meditation will still be felt the way that rivulets of rain leave pathways. And you will have received that rain and will be meditating with the birds, the trees, and the earth. Then your quiet will hold your greatest power. Your stillness will become your most important action. And your inner peace will be the simple great gift you will transmit.
Pariyatti, a non-profit 501c3 organization, offers a wide variety of books, e-books, videos, and audiobooks about the teachings of the Buddha, the Pali language, and Vipassana meditation. Browse our complete catalog at www.pariyatti.org. That's pariyatti.org.